Let's worship him in the word today. Was there one class today? All right. Hopefully I don't get in too much trouble today, but maybe I will. I searched for a scripture that would capture what the Lord was quickening to me. And some would say, oh, you know, this passage is really designed about something else, but it's the best I could do. It's the best fit I could find, and that's Jeremiah 4, 1-6. And think about, this isn't just about the nation of Israel, this is about a people returning to the Lord. If you will return, O Israel, declares the Lord, then you should return to me. And if you will put away your detested things from my presence, and will not waver, and you will swear, as the Lord lives, in truth, in justice, and in righteousness, then the nations will bless themselves in him, and in him they will glory. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and remove the foreskins of your heart, men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my wrath go forth like fire and burn with none to quench it, because of the evil of your deeds. Declare in Judah and proclaim in Jerusalem and say, blow the trumpet in the land. Cry aloud and say, assemble yourselves and let us go into the fortified cities. Lift up a standard toward Zion. Seek refuge. Do not stand still. For I am bringing evil from the north and great destruction. Now the focus is not on the negative aspects in this particular passage of the word, because it was designed to rebuke the people of Israel and Judah for their lack of commitment. So think of it in that light, not so much an angry God who's going to chastise or something of that nature. Now you may recall at the end of December, actually the first week in January this year, I mentioned that I had received three visions or words. And I had not preached from any of those things yet that the Lord showed me until today. I wasn't released to share the download of 12/28/17. And I came to know yesterday it was because I hadn't seen or received the fullness of the revelation that God was showing me. I only received one part, and the second part I received this past Thursday night. So the vision was, I actually did not see the person, but what I knew to be so was the person was fencing. You know fencing? The sport of fencing? This is what I was focusing. It wasn't important about who was holding the instrument or the, I don't even think, I don't know what they call it. Do they call it a foil? What do they call that thing in fencing? Anyway, you know what I'm referring to. And so suddenly what I saw was a lunging or a sudden movement forward, and I heard the word foray, F-O-R-A-Y. And so I looked that up, and it means, one of the meanings is to raid enemy territory. A sudden or irregular invasion or attack for war or spoils, to raid, to break in, to breach, to storm, or to foray. That's what I heard in December, and then what I heard this past Thursday night was the words, a call to arms. A call to arms. And if you look for a definition of what that means, other than militarily assembling for battle, it means something that makes people want to take action and get involved in an attempt to deal with a bad situation. Something that encourages, something that encourages someone or something to spur, prompt, persuade, to stimulate. So obviously I've entitled this morning's message, A Call to Arms. The Lord is calling, preparing, empowering, and releasing his people. That's what I'm calling, what the Lord spoke, a call to arms. The passage that I thought of immediately when I heard that word was Joel chapter 2, verse 1. Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. But when I went to that and studied that, that really didn't capture what I felt the Lord was speaking to me through that expression, a call to arms. So what will be involved in a call to arms? Number one, change from verse one. That we're going to need to embrace change and repent. Repent simply is not saying sorry, but repent literally means a turning, choosing to turn to the Lord. The sorry part of repent, that's a good thing, but you can say you're sorry but not really intend to change. You're just sorry that you got caught, right? You're sorry that you had to pay the consequences. But if you're really sorry, there'll be a turning. There'll be a turning or a change in your behavior, and you won't do it anymore, because you'll be turning to the Lord for his strength, which will enable you to not do it again. Are you with me? Embracing change, repenting, turning to the Lord. It says there in verse 1, return to me. Well, what does that mean for us? Respond to the direction and guidance of Holy Spirit. Kind of what he was illustrating this morning about breaking through or breaking in. 2 Chronicles 7:14, my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn. There it is. Turn from their wicked ways Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. This isn't just talking about something physical. It's talking about a transformation spiritually. I will even submit to you, what we do, our behavior or our sin, demonstrates our spiritual condition. It shows us and the world of the deprivation of our heart, the desperate need that we have not fully yielded ourselves to Him and to the work of the cross. It says there in verse 1, put away the detested things. What those things are, you know, you have to revise the definition. That sounds very strong, but I would say what it is that you think, say, or do that is an offense to the Lord. That's how I would interpret that. And He's saying, put those things away. Deal with those things. Because it's those things that create a wall or create a distance between us and Him. As long as those things remain, as long as you think they're going to go away on their own, then there's a wall. There's a distance in how deep you can go, what kind of fellowship you can have with the Lord. So that word put away is translated usually depart or remove. Romans 13:14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Get serious. Firm up your commitment to the Lord. Show Him and demonstrate just how committed you are. Show Him and show others by how we behave, what we say, what we do. You remember a few moments ago I said, pay attention to the little things? God is so good. Here I am, I'm preparing yesterday. I've had kind of a, it actually goes with this whole point, I had kind of a nagging cough the last week or so. Nothing serious, it's not going away, it's been persistent. And so I opened up, you know, this is not an advertisement for Halls. I opened up a Halls lozenger, cough drop, or whatever they call those things. And I've never noticed that there's a saying on the wrapper. It escaped my attention. And so the first time I read one of these things, as I'm preparing this point, I look down, and this is what it says. Put your game face on. After I have just written, get serious in your commitment to the Lord. I already wrote that. And then I open the wrapper, and I look at it, and it says, put your game face on. You know what that means, right? You are ready for the enemy. I'm not talking about the Patriots and the Eagles here. Although they better put their game face on today, too. Are you with me? So I said, what if I reach in the bag and get another one? What's it going to say? You're not going to believe it. This is what it said. Buckle down and push through. Coincidence? I think not. So we need to press in, press on, and press through. Embrace change and repent. Turn to the Lord. Ask the Lord for help. You know you can't do it. You know what your success rate is. It's pitiful. Come on, I'm talking to people who know. When you're alone, nobody's there, what you think and what you say and what you do. He knows those things. And so do you. Turn to the Lord and ask Him to change you. Change my heart, Lord. Change my attitude. I know it stinks, and you know it too. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. I'd like to read that in the Amplified this morning to you. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony of the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us. And let us run with patient endurance and steady and persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief, and is also the finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And a very important thing that he does at the right hand of the throne of God is, the scripture says, he ever lives to make intercession for you. I don't know about you, but I want Jesus in my corner 24/7. And I know I need him in my corner. I know I need him desperately. So embrace change and turn to the Lord. Secondly, commit yourself to the Lord. Verse 2. It says there in verse 2, swear in truth and in justice and in righteousness. Psalms 15, verse 2. O Lord, who may abide in thy tent? And I would say under his covering. That would be my interpretation. Who can abide under his covering? Who may dwell on thy holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. You have to have truth in your heart before it can come out of your mouth. Psalms 37, 5 and 6. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. It's happening again. I need thee, oh, I need thee. We sang it this morning, didn't we? Did we mean it? Were we being serious, truthful with him? Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love, and the margin note there says, holding to and walking in the truth. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. This is a season where it's going to be necessary to grow up. Those childish things that you've been indulging in, those things that you allow to occupy your time instead of time with him, they must go. They must go if we're going to commit ourselves to the Lord. 1 Peter 4:11. Easier just to read it from up there. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we need to be an expression of Jesus in all we say and do. That's what that verse is saying. And that's what commitment to the Lord involves. Number three, from verse three, take action. It says, break up your fallow ground. There in verse 3, Jeremiah 4. Plow for yourselves plowed ground is the margin note there. That word fallow is defined as something left untilled or unsown after plowing, dormant, inactive. In order to get maximum benefit from the land, a farmer sometimes has to give a field a rest for a season, let it lay dormant, inactive, or sometimes even plant another crop that will replenish or restore the soil so it'll provide a fruitful harvest. But this verse is saying it's time to break up your fallow ground. You've put off some things. God has spoken some things. Things have been prophesied over your life, and you haven't done a thing with it. Time to break up your fallow ground, my friends. This is a season where God is requiring all of us, not me, me too, yes, but all of us to break up our fallow ground. Hosea 10:12. Sow with a view to righteousness, reap in accordance with kindness. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness on you. What, if I were to paraphrase that, I would say, our part of it's talking about covenant. Our part is to seek him. Our part is to commit it to him. But he will make us righteous. He will release that which we need. Another thing that can happen sometimes in fallow ground is weeds spring up. And Jesus addressed this in, it was recorded in Matthew. Talked about casting pearls before swine in Matthew 7:6. Do not give what's holy to the dogs and not throw your pearls before swine. He also talks about it in the parable of the sower, Matthew 13:7. And other seeds of truth, or his word in other words, fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. So you have to be careful what you sow into and where you sow. You know, some would say, and I would disagree with this, you know, just to indiscriminately sow the word. You know, try to lead somebody to the Lord by preaching the scriptures or sharing the scriptures. That's what Jesus is calling casting pearls before swine. But when the Holy Spirit identifies someone to you and says, go speak to that person, go speak life, that's when you cast the pearls. That's when you sow the seed. And you will reap a harvest, because you're doing it under God's direction through the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, quite frankly, I don't think you should expect any results. That may sound harsh, but all I'm saying is I believe in the power and direction of the Holy Spirit. So I would summarize that as we need to do and say what Father is doing and saying. Where have we heard that before? John 5:19-20. I don't have that up there, Rachel. Hit the target and don't shoot stray bullets. That's the way the Lord said it to me. Take effective action and hit the bullseye. Number four, live and demonstrate a lifestyle of power. From verse 5, where it says, declare in Judah and proclaim in Jerusalem and say, blow the trumpet in the land. Now you might be surprised to find out what those words actually mean. But you're going to find out. Declare means to be conspicuous. Be intentional, in other words, in your behavior and in your speech. Because you represent Christ wherever you go. Be conspicuous. It should be obvious and observable that you are a Christian or a Christ follower. Proclaim. It's actually meaning more about hearing and listening, that then we then turn that into a demonstration of his love, grace, and his power. First Corinthians 2:4. My message in preaching or in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. 2 Corinthians 6:7. In the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left. And also for your study, 1 Thessalonians 1:5. I don't have that, but that's for you to investigate. Then it says, blow the trumpet in the land. And I would, my commentary on that would be, let your voice be his voice. Be bold and intentional. It's what's called lifestyle evangelism. People observe what you're saying and doing, and the Lord uses that to draw them to him. Cry aloud, assemble in unity, in other words, and go into the fortified cities. This is a season, and if you recall what Pastor John said during presbytery, or Pastor Al, he said, it's time to go on the offense. Anybody remember that? If you don't remember, it's because it's too threatening to you. It's because you don't want to leave your comfort zone. So you conveniently exclude it. It's time to be offensive, not offend, but be offensive instead of defensive, making excuses or giving reasons why we're not doing this or that. Not apologizing for the gospel message. James 4:7, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. That's a principle. That's a promise from the Word of God. First, submit to God. Secondly, resist. Go on the offense against the enemy, and the enemy will flee. Sound the alarm, Joel 2:1, blow the trumpet. And it says in verse 25, Joel 2, I will restore or make up to you for the years which the locust or the enemy has eaten or stolen. A call to arms, my friends. A call to arms for you, a call to arms for this church, a call to arms for the body of Christ in this hour. And number 5, reliance and trust from verse 6, where it says, lift up a standard. This is the definition I found for a standard. To be high and conspicuous, there's that word again. A signal or sign or a banner, a conspicuous object formerly used at the top of a pole to mark a rallying point, especially in battle. Do you know you're in a battle? Are you aware that you're in a spiritual battle? You are, whether you're aware of it or not. And you know, the temptation is, or the tendency is, to take it out on somebody. It's not that somebody. It's not that person that's irritating you. It's the enemy trying to get at you through them. And so, the Bible says, gee, what does it say? Love your enemies. And pray for those who persecute you. The opposite of what you feel like doing. You feel like giving them a pop. And I'm not talking about soda. Pop. Lift up a standard. Psalms 20, verse 5. In the name of our God, we will set up our banners or standard. Psalm 64, verse 4. Thou hast given a banner to those who fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. And finally, in that verse, it talks about seeking refuge and not standing still. And it's hard to hit a moving target in the battle. So if you're moving in the spirit, if you're assuming a defensive position, you're actually a sitting duck in a battle, because the enemy knows where you are, and it, physically speaking, he can train the attack or the guns or whatever on you because you've identified your location. The scripture says, don't stand still. Seek refuge in the Lord, yes, but don't stay put. And uncoincidentally, I was watching something, started watching something called, it's a British series called The Last Outpost. And I need to go into it, but they were in a battle, and in this particular episode, and they were ambushed by the enemy. In other words, they were told they were going to get the ringleader, and they went into the buildings and there was nobody there. So they came out. As they came out, the enemy was waiting, lying in wait. And so they just picked them off one by one. And the leader said, this is what he said, and I quote, "Don't stop moving until you get to higher ground." That's my charge and the Lord's charge to you this morning. Don't stop moving until you get to higher ground, until you reach Him, until you get the answer or your solution or your help from Him and Him alone. Scripture says, Isaiah 26:3, "For the steadfast of mind thou wilt keep in perfect peace because he trusts in thee." He trusts in thee. I'll close with Ephesians 6:10 to 17. I could read it up there in the New American Standard, but for sake of time, I'm going to read it in the Amplified. Ephesians 6. Correction. I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation. Ephesians 6:10 to 17. "Now, my beloved ones, I have saved these most important truths for the last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus." Meditate on that one for a while. "Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. Put on God's complete set of armor provided for us so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides so that you're protected as you confront the slanderers, for you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. Put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. Put on holiness as the protective armor that covers your heart. Stand on your feet alert, then you'll always be ready to share the blessings of peace. In every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies, and take the mighty razor-sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God, and so forth. Our hope and trust and reliance must be wholeheartedly, single-mindedly on the Lord. He is issuing a call to arms. I don't know what that means for you, but I would recommend investigating it. It means something for each one. God will require something of you. It may not be exactly what he might require of me, but he is challenging us in this hour, and he's not going to change his mind about calling each one of us, this church, and the body of Christ to arms. God bless you as you take that to heart and you seek his face, because you're going to find an answer. It may not be the answer that you're looking for. It may not be the answer you expect, but it will be the answer you need to fulfill the calling that's upon your life for his honor and glory. Amen.